Hello.
You look a bit better today.
Oh, cheers. Hopefully I sound a bit better as well. I was not right last time.
You weren't right. I was a bit worried about you. I think everyone was.
Yeah.
You're back to full health, though. Are you kind of back to normality?
Yes. I'm doing all right.
Good. That's the main thing. Right, let's get straight into it. It's quite a big list here.
There's more than there is, really. I'd be surprised if we don't get through it all.
Fair enough. Well, there hasn't been that much happening. Well, there's been a couple of big things, obviously, but nothing, not a huge volume of things, really. It's that time of the year, isn't it? But we're starting with my quantified self, which is a phrase I've not heard before. But I quite like it. What is it? What does it mean?
No, I didn't coin that. That is the term that's been around for a very long time, the quantified self, just this notion of measuring everything about your day-to-day business. But yeah, proper into it now, aren't you?
I say I'm into it. I'm interested in it. I think that's probably the best way of putting it. And Whoop has got me a bit more analytical about stuff. This second helping of Whoop, because I did try it for 3 months. Was it last year or the year before? I'm definitely more interested in what it's telling me now, because I'm acutely aware that I need to get more sleep, and also that I don't always train, use the gym when I should and when I shouldn't, if that makes sense. So I think just because I'm getting older and things are breaking more, I'm just thinking, how can I prolong my life? And one of those things is definitely sleep. So it's having an impact on that, 100%. I'm getting my sleep debt down. I'm getting more consistent sleep. I'm getting better at being asleep, basically, which was the main goal.
Oh, that's good news. But
it is.
Were you not getting a bunch of sleep metrics from 8 Sleep? Because you've got an 8 Sleep. Yeah, the wacky water-cooled or water-heating mattress topper thing.
Yeah, I was. But I think Whoop is better. I think Whoop gives you more data. And also it's with you all the time. So you're getting all of the, you're getting daily, hourly, by the second heart rate stuff. Whereas the 8 Sleep tells you how things were last night. And then unless you stay in bed all day, unless you're ill like yourself, if you've been that ill and you've been in bed all the time, most of us get out of bed and do stuff. So I think we've got 8 Sleep on this list. We'll perhaps come on to that in a minute. But Whoop is, I've really enjoyed it. It's felt like a good investment in my health, which is the whole point of it, I suppose. My goal with it is to use it for this year at least. And if I still think I want to use it into 2025, I will. So the signs are quite good.
For those who don't know, what is a Whoop?
What is a Whoop? It's a fitness band. So it's basically this thing here, which you can see roughly. The only thing I don't like about it is the look. I'm not overly enamored by how this thing looks. Particularly, I haven't got it next to me, but when you attach the whole premise with this is that you never take it off. You leave it on all the time. So unlike the Apple Watch or any watch that needs charging, you keep it on. And the way that you keep it on and keep it topped up with battery is to attach this little puck thing to it to charge the battery. The problem with that is that it starts to look very much like a tag, like you've done something very naughty and people are keeping an eye on you. I'm not keen on that, but I understand why they've done it. When I first reviewed it, I moaned about the fact that I lost it and then had lots of people telling me quite rightly, really, that I'm an idiot for losing it and that is not a fault of the product. They're 100% right. I've not lost this one in 3 months. So I'm not a massive fan of the look of it, but it is basically just it's a band that has a bunch of, sensors in it, heart rate sensor, and it measures it all the time. So on your Apple Watch, the heart rate sensor comes on and off occasionally. The green light on this is always on, so it's always measuring, basically. But the real value from Whoop comes from the app. So it's got an app that tells you it's focuses on your sleep, your recovery, and your strain. So in theory, if you get good sleep, you're better recovered. And if you're better recovered, you're more ready to take on strain that day, whether that be, working out or whatever. A lot more to it than that, obviously. And a lot of the metrics do go massively over my head. But I understand the basics enough to know what I'm doing to myself or not doing to myself. And it does seem to be pretty accurate, I think.
So, I mean, so with these insights then, it helps you decide, you know, how, you know, to what degree you're going to work out that day, or even if you should at all.
Yeah.
Isn't that basically it? So you get the metrics, you go, right, okay, fire up the Whoop app. How hard should I push myself today? Oh, that's not good. Maybe take it easy today. And then like the next day, or, you know, later in the week or whatever, all the stats are good. Right, let's go for a Mark Fox full beans workout. Mark is your personal trainer, isn't he now?
We need to mention him, actually. Yeah, so Mark Fox is he's a Discord member. So he's a Patreon, but he's also a fitness coach, and he does it remotely. So if you don't have to live in the same town as him, basically, he can coach you remotely, and he does it all via an app. I think I have mentioned this, haven't I, actually? But I should mention him again, because he's doing this. He's given me a few sessions completely free of charge. He does charge normally, and he should charge because he's very good. But yeah, you get an app, and he gives you these workouts, and he gives you like a meal plan and stuff, and I've noticed some real improvements all around with that. He is working me really hard, but the key thing being, go back to your point, is that you need to be ready to train. And I think what a lot of people do, I've done this my entire gym life, get out of bed, go to the gym when you really don't feel like you should be doing it, but you do it because you feel like you have to. But you should listen to your body, because your body's saying, hang on a minute, no, you shouldn't be doing this today. And Whoop does tell you that, so it will give you a strain target. And the cool thing about it now is it has an AI coach, so you can say to it, what workout should I do today, or should I work out today, or, you know, I'm at a hotel tonight with a limited gym equipment, what can I do to reach my strain target? And it will give you some really useful little tips if you haven't got a Mark Fox. So yeah, it's been great. Have you ever had Whoop yourself? I don't think you have. Have you?
No,
have
no,
you
gone? Never got involved with Whoop. I find that the stats that I get from a standard normal person wearable is enough for me.
I don't blame you.
This is why I don't have an Apple Watch Ultra, because that takes things to another degree that I just don't need. When Mrs. Rob is obviously training for half marathons and stuff, but she's doing one next month, actually.
Wow. Which one?
Really, Reading, I think.
Okay, nice.
Is it Reading? Or was that later in the year? I've got no idea. She's doing several. But for someone like her, Apple Watch Ultra makes complete sense, but for me it would be completely wasted. Actually, I resisted the urge to buy one the other day, and there was the Amazon spring deals promotion recently. Always Amazon, when they have these spring promotions, they often have very good deals, not just on new stuff but also their warehouse. So you can go and you can have a pokey through the warehouses, like customer returns and stuff, and you've got items that are in various states of use, from good as new, like just the box is a bit dented, or, you know, really quite badly damaged. And then, you know, the level of discount that's on offer will vary depending on the condition. Anyway, long story short, they had like a 30% off warehouse returns offer, and they had an original Apple Watch Ultra. They had six of them, actually, with the black trail loop, the black and grey trail loop. £440 at checkout.
Wow.
I mean, that's, you know, normal, you know, large size Apple Watch Series 9 money for last year's Apple Watch Ultra, which, you know, if you're in the market for that, that's
very tempting.
No brainer. But yeah, I got as far as putting it into the cart, and then I was like, do I need this? I don't think I do. So I didn't. But anyway, so this Whoop thing. So the app is good. It's giving you some good insights. It is. You're already finding that it is kind of in tune with how you're feeling, so that you can recognize the signs. Whereas before, you might have just plowed through, but now Whoop says, you take it easy today, or you should do more of this, or whatever. And so you're making those associations between how you feel and what you should be doing, to the point where I think, you know, this time next year you won't need it.
It's a good point. There is that argument, isn't there, which could be the Achilles heel for this sort of thing, where you just it trains you well enough to break free of it, possibly. That's what I want to find out, really. Will I want to carry on using it next year? That's the key thing.
But
the one thing really... it does do, just very quickly, and I've spoken to two or three people who have been hit by this, and to the point where they've cancelled their membership because of it, it does alcohol shame you quite badly. So the recovery score that it gives you, I've got my phone's charging, I can't show you, but you get the it's a score of 0 to 100 basically each day. So you wake up, you check your recovery, and if it's yellow or green, happy days, you've done well. If it's red, you've several things have happened. Either you've got to bed too late, you've eaten too late, you might have woken up throughout the night or whatever. It's just not been a good night's sleep. If you have alcohol, so even just one glass of wine, even just a single beer, and still go to bed at a reasonable time and get what you think is enough sleep, I can guarantee when you wake up the next day, it's going to be a little red line on the bar graph. So when I went to the worst part of it, worst example of this was when I went to Barcelona for MWC, Mobile World Congress, where my sleep leading up to the conference was brilliant. It was all kind of like green, like 80, 80, 85, 90, amazing. Got on the flight, got there, and there were a few free drinks to be had at MWC. And if you could, at some stage I'll post a, I think I put this on Twitter a little while ago. It went from green, green, green to red, red, red over about 3 days, and then gradually crept back up. And like I said, I've genuinely spoken to two or three people who have had a whoop, and they like a drink, and they could not take that red bar graph. It was just too much to handle. Rather than acting on it, which is probably what you should do, it has no idea that you haven't told it that you've drank alcohol. You can do that. I mean, each morning it asks you to fill a journal entry in, which is, you tick a bunch of things like, did you see sunlight at the end of the day? At the start of the day? Did you eat late? Did you view a screen device in bed? All that sort of stuff. And one of them is, did you have an alcoholic drink last night? But that's retrospectively. So it's not, by the time it's generated that recovery score, it's based on your heart rate and all sorts of things. So what on earth alcohol does to your body overnight is frightening. But again, that's really useful information. And it's not shamed me enough into getting rid of it, thankfully, because I don't drink too much. But yeah, I can see why some people do.
Okay. So what I'm curious about is, so you've got this wrist-worn device that you're not wild about the appearance. You're not wild about the appearance, but you do like the insights that it's giving you. Eagle-eyed viewers of your channel would have noticed that you started wearing a ring. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, this isn't the actual ring. It's a good job it's on that finger, isn't it? So this is the Ultra Human, which hopefully people have heard of. It's the Ultra Human Air. But what they do, they send out... So this is a review unit. It's not paid before anyone starts complaining, but it has been sent out to review. So I haven't chosen this like I did with Whoop off my own back. It's something I'm very curious about. I'm curious about it because of Samsung ring, all of the rumours about the Apple ring potentially. This is Ultra Human, which has been around for a little while now. But what they do, they send you out a ring sizing kit to begin with, which is this. So in here, we get... Have you seen this before?
No. Any?
So they send you a bunch of ring sizes. I think they're standard sizes. And you choose the one that works. You wear it for a day or two, and then you tell them which one you want, and they send out the proper ring. Very quickly on this, I'm really struggling with the right ring to pick, because you're supposed to wear it either on your... I think that the best place is your index finger, but you can wear it on here, and I think your ring finger as well. I'm really struggling between sizes. I don't know if you've had this. Do you wear a... Have you got any rings?
Just the wedding ring.
Just the wedding ring. I'm talking to them. It's got that bad. I'm talking to them about it, about which one to go for. Because what I don't want to do is get a size that doesn't track properly because it's not properly attached. That's the 10, which is just... It's loose enough, so it's not uncomfortable. But the 9, again, slips on quite nicely. But it does start to feel a bit... You can really feel it in the evening when your hand swells a bit. Because your hand changes, doesn't it, throughout the day? It swells a bit more and what have you. I can't. I need a 9.5, and they don't do that. It's really annoying. No one cares about this. Is the least interesting part of this podcast. But anyway, once I've made this decision, they say that you shouldn't be able to move it around by doing that. And I can't with the 10, but it is occasionally a bit loose, as you can probably see. So I don't know. I might need to send them a video. I don't want to get it wrong and it not track properly. That's because otherwise that's not a fair review. But anyway, regardless of the ring size, once you've picked the right size, they send you out the proper ring. And again, it tracks a bunch of things like your mainly your heart rate and some other stuff. I don't know everything about it yet because I haven't dug into it yet because I don't have the ring. But it's for people who don't want, I guess, a great big watch tracking stuff or
an ASBO a band, tag.
An ASBO yeah. tag, which is fair enough.
So at this stage, you haven't settled on a size. So it'll be a while before it turns up. Why are you still wearing it? If it's just a bit
to
plastic,
try and get used to it.
Just to get used to it.
Oh, to try, yeah, they recommend that you wear each size that you're trying to pick between for 24 hours. But I've been wearing it for about 2 weeks now because I'm so indecisive. I can't work out which one it is. The problem with these sizing rings is that they're obviously cheap things, and the black material keeps breaking off. I keep finding bits of it everywhere, and I had like a great big black smudge across my face the other day, which I wasn't aware of. But yeah, the perils of
so keeping you on sort of acclimatized to wearing a ring on a finger that you wouldn't normally do it. So when the real thing arrives, it should be a seamless transition, right?
I've got a weird job, Rob.
Yeah. So I mean, how much does it need to do to get you to bin the Whoop? I mean, presumably they've got a subscription, and they've probably also got a fancy app with the AIs and all that jazz in it.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit cheaper than the Whoop. Although I got the Whoop on a bit of a discount at the new year, which was nice. But I don't know. This is, again, I'm fascinated. I want to know as well. If you're not a watch person or if you're not a band person, what do you get? Are there concessions that you have to make? Because this is tiny, and it can only do so much, can't it? The Whoop can only do so much as well. It's not an Apple Watch. It can't give you notifications and all that sort of stuff. But I think it can do a lot more than the ring. But what do you kind of give up if you go down this route rather than what we would do, which is wear the watch? That's what I'm fascinated by. And why is Samsung putting so much investment into this?
Well, it's the next big thing, isn't it? Has it got NFC? Can you like pay for stuff using it?
I don't think it has. I don't know for definite.
Okay. Well, we'll revisit this when you've got the actual thing and not a bit of plastic.
That'll make more sense. Yeah, this does nothing. Literally nothing.
So then that brings us on to 8 Sleep. We haven't had an update on that. How have you been getting on with it? Although actually interesting, now you've got the Whoop app and these sort of sleep and recovery insights. When you go and you sleep on a non-8 Sleep equipped bed and you haven't been drinking, I'm curious to know whether there's some correlation between the quality of sleep that you're getting on your fancy 8 Sleep bed versus other beds. Have you noticed anything along those lines or not really?
I've not even thought to check that, to be fair. That's a really good point. I've stayed in quite a few hotels recently and I haven't even thought about that. That's a really good point. I need to have a look, don't I? I think 8 Sleep for us has basically turned into this thing. I think this is what happens with most 8 Sleep installations: is that its main goal is to satisfy both occupants. So one of them wants it to be boiling hot, and the other one wants it to be cool. It does that brilliantly, and it continues to do that really well. It does. It gives you all the data, and I've just stopped looking at it because I've been using Whoop so much. But for us, it's just been that. I think when I get into a bed that doesn't have that heating and cooling, I hate it. I've totally got used to 8 Sleep being there now. So shame it's so expensive.
It is rather expensive, but you know, you do spend a third of your day sleeping. So
true,
a third of your life sleeping. So it's probably a worthwhile investment. Have you got any sort of long term insights into what it's like to live with in terms of noise or sort of annoyances?
It's noisy. Maintenance, nothing. Touch wood, nothing's happened so far. All you have to do is fill up the water tank, so it has to be primed occasionally. But I've only done that probably twice, I think, since we've had it. And it tells you on the app, you get a notification on the app when you need to do that. And that is literally just a case of taking it out, tipping out the water, putting new water in and putting it in. It does its thing. So no other maintenance apart from that. It is noisy. It does, and again, this depends on where you put it. So we haven't got a massive bedroom, so we've had to put it on one of the bedside tables, which means it's very close to the bed, basically. And it's big. People have seen it, it's a big thing. It looks a bit like a desktop computer from 1995. It looks better than that, but it's about that size. And the most noise it makes is when it's, if you, obviously you set the temperature and you can have the temperature change itself based on the season and your preferences, etc. But if you decide to crank it up a bit or cool it down, that's when it has to kick in all the fans and the motors and stuff to get the water pumping. It gets quite noisy then, but it's one of those things that it's not an irritating noise. Because if it was, it would have gone by now. We wouldn't have it in there. You just get used to it. It becomes this background hum, basically.
Okay.
It might annoy some people, potentially. And some people may be surprised how noisy it is. But again, because it's so expensive, I think it's mainly for people who have massive bedrooms and who can place it far enough away for it not to be an issue.
How far away can you place the unit? Has it got quite a long umbilical?
Quite far. Yeah, the umbilical is quite long. You could hide it around the back of your chaise long, I reckon. I'd guess that's what Max Verstappen probably does. Yeah, I don't think he cares. It's not near enough his head, I don't think. If he's got one. I think there are F1 drivers who've got them.
Yeah, well, we'll check in again on how you're getting on with it when Harrison...
Are you tempted?
I've been tempted since day one. I was going on about it before they were cool. But yeah, it's just a lot of money. So I'll wait and see. I think the biggest discount I've ever seen on it is about 400 quid. So, and that was like Black Friday. So I'll just sit on it for a bit. I'll wait and see. If I get a decent discount on it, I might give it a go. But yeah, so the next update I'll be asking you about is when Harrison gets to the jumping on the bed age. Because I imagine he's too little at the moment to climb up there, isn't he?
But no, he can get on there now.
Oh, he can. Oh, right. At some point,
that's happened.
Oh, he does jump up and down on it, does he?
He's there. He's over the last 2 or 3 weeks, he started doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it holds up to that sort of abuse, because obviously he's going to keep getting bigger, and the acrobatics are going to get more and more extreme. It doesn't matter how many times you ask him not to do it, he's going to do it.
Let's check in at the end of the year and see if it's survived.
See if it's broken. But I mean, is there any sort of warranty on it? Like with as part of your subscription, because it is a subscription, isn't it? You need a subscription for all the app and stuff to work. I'm fairly sure there is.
There's different levels of the subscription as well, I think. It's been a while since I reviewed this, to be honest, Rob, since I covered it. You're testing my knowledge of these brands. I think there is, but I couldn't say how much.
I don't think you did a dedicated video.
It was featured.
On it, did you?
Yeah. It was featured, yeah. It was just featured.
So, quantified self. This is an area that I'm really into. Mm. As you know, I had the first ever Fitbit. I've still got the first ever Y-Things, Withings Smart Scale. I've got my stupid Hydrate Spark water bottle that measures all the water I drink. I've been into this stuff for a long time. So yeah, your Eight Sleeps, your Whoops, your Ultra Human Rings, they really appeal to me. So yeah, I'll be really interested to see how you get on with that ring if and when you decide what size to go for.
I promise I will. The time is ticking. I need to do it. I need to bite the bullet.
But yeah, the other thing I'm interested in is what is going on at Mark Ellis Reviews HQ. You seem to have about 100 people working for you now.
100 people, not quite that many, but it's, the team has expanded. Where do I start? You've listed the people here. The list of people here looks a little bit like a band. Niall, Max, Richard, Mel, Michelle, and the Canadian Consultant. What a brilliant band name. We need to start that band, Rob.
Who are they? What do they do? Well, actually, people should know who Niall is by now, because he cracks up all the time, doesn't he?
So Niall, we should get him on, shouldn't we, one day?
We should. Let's get Niall on. He can tell us about his... He's got some interesting hobbies, hasn't he? We should, yeah. That's good.
He has, yeah. We won't give it away what he does. Yeah. He does something very impressive behind the scenes. But we'll get him on, definitely. So Niall's the general manager. He deals with all the partnership stuff. Any and also any short form videos that you see on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube, generally speaking, he edited, particularly if they look really good, he did them. It wasn't me. So he's a brilliant editor, but he's been thrown into the deep end dealing with brands, and he's doing an absolutely amazing job. So that's Niall. We've got Max. Max is working behind the scenes on the website. He has been for a while, actually. So eagle-eyed people who have frequented the website regularly will have seen his name probably on a few blog posts. He's doing a lot more than that now. So he's got a lot of background in SEO. So ever since he first came on, that was one of his main roles, to crack on with SEOing the website. He also was very much behind the redesign that we've had recently, which he worked with an external SEO company who built it and did all that stuff. But he was the main point of contact for that. Mel is actually Max's partner. The reason she's come in is because will he mind me saying this? I don't think he won't. It'll be fine. Max is going traveling for 5 months from May, I think. He's coming back. He's coming back into the role, but I can't do without him for that period, obviously. And I don't expect him to be doing what he's doing and having a laptop in his bag. So Mel is also a very good writer, and she's come on board to take over while he's away. But equally, it's that classic thing where you get someone into as a stopgap, basically, and then you realise that actually this person's great as well, and they're adding value, and the website is so valuable to this business. It's the most important asset we have. It's the one thing we control, and we've got lots of plans for it. So it makes sense to have that team grow and expand way beyond me. So that's what Mel's doing. Michelle is the assistant I've brought in, who now checks my email. I don't do email anymore. I do email. I just don't live by email anymore, which is, have you ever done this? I don't know how much it rules your working life, but it ruled mine for two decades.
I manage email by just not reading it. So I've posted on various occasions my unread count on the Discord, and just it's divisive. You've got the people who are in the same camp as me, which is just doesn't matter, and then you've got the other people that just have a seizure over it. I'm talking like tens of thousands of unread in my email, and it just doesn't bother me. I don't care.
I love that. I wish I had that. I wish I could do that. But the problem is in my business that all of the big opportunities come via email. Everything. So everything we've ever done in this business in terms of brand partnerships and events and things and getting opportunities that help grow the audience, they generally speaking come via email. So I can't just ignore it. But equally, I was aware that I was spending way too much time on it. And then I read a book called, I don't know if I've mentioned it on this podcast, but it's called Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. Absolutely life-changing. Have you heard of this?
Only through you, but I haven't. I've added it to my reading list, but awesome. I haven't got around to it. What's it saying? Buy Back Your Time by who?
Dan Martell, Martell, I think.
I'll stick a link in the show notes to that.
Thank you. Honestly, life-changing. I'm really boring.
I said I was going to do some links last week, and I forgot. Nice apologies if you're looking out for the links that weren't there. That's entirely on me.
Had one job, unbelievable. But Dan's book, I'm that really boring bloke who every person I meet now, I talk about Dan's book. I don't know the guy at all. I've got no affiliation with him, but I must have sold at least 5 books for him. So he should be very happy. The guy who sells millions of books. But it's literally does what it says on the tin. It's about buying back your time and putting it into more profitable things and things that you enjoy doing and into your family and all that sort of stuff. But the one big thing he says is if you're serious about your business, you need to give up email. You shouldn't be checking email every 10 minutes and having your attention diverted to that and all that, all the normal stuff, basically. Stuff that I knew, but I needed someone to tell me in black and white what to do. To cut a long story short, I've brought in someone to deal with that, and she kind of manages the inbox, manages the diary, and I have a chat with her every day at 4 o'clock, which takes about 10 minutes. The slightly interesting thing is that I don't get anywhere near as much email as I thought I did, because the emails that I was dealing with were either spam or newsletters, or they should have gone to Niall or someone else or whatever. The actual email I need to deal with is tiny, which is both satisfying and slightly makes you a bit sad, doesn't it? Like, people don't really want you, but it's a good thing because there's not many messages that I need to deal with, basically. And it's brilliant. Love it. And, so that's what Michelle does. She does more than that.
And she's based in Arizona.
She's based in Arizona. And fun fact, she is the person that dealt with the Vision Pro delivery. So because we had to have it delivered to a US address, went to Michelle. And
which
came
we do
to,
need to have
here.
A chat about as well, actually, the Vision Pro.
We'll do that before we end. Absolutely. Yeah, and then we have the Canadian consultant, whose name is James. I don't think I've mentioned his name before, but he... I won't say who else he works with because he may not want me to say, but he works with another very big YouTuber in the States. And he just got in touch completely out of the blue last year and said, I've been watching the channel for a while, really enjoy your stuff. By the way, I also work with this person. And if you're ever interested, I'd love to have a chat and see if I can help at all because I've got lots of experience. He was involved in Mobile Nations and a couple of other very big things in the past. And when you hear that, you just think, yes, please.
Absolutely.
Spoke to him, really got on with him, met him in Vegas as well. We had a good time in Vegas, and he's really come on board now. And there's lots more things. Today has been really exciting, actually, in terms of planning for the future. I will kind of reveal some of it at some point, but we're still in the planning stages at the moment. So, but he's made a big difference, and he's working with Niall on the brand stuff, and he's been transformative for that. Is that everyone? Have I missed anyone?
I don't know. You tell me.
There's Jen. She does some stuff. Oh, we talked about Jen already. She does things. She does lots of very important. She invoices people. That's really important. I think that's it. I mean, we've got, like I say, we've used an external SEO people for the new website and stuff. And Richard's very important. He does the edits for this. He does some short form stuff still. He's a very busy guy though. He's doing lots of very impressive things for, I think, for like the BBC, and he's doing a lot of sports stuff. So I can't grab that much of his time. But no, it's exciting time. It's a bit overwhelming. It's a bit weird that just some bloke from Northampton started talking about MacBooks 4 years ago, and then this has happened. And it's a bit frightening because you get into the point where you either keep this thing as your little baby that you know you've got full control over, or you get a bit more ambitious about it, which I've always been, and start doing other things with it. But you need help for that, and you need experience elsewhere. And yeah, it's finding that's just started to come through, really. But,
The redesigned website looks great, by the way.
Do you like it?
I do, yeah. When did that go live? I just logged on one day and I was like, oh, hang about, what's happening? What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, like any website redesign go live thing, it was always a bit trepidatious when we did it. And we didn't want to mention it just because there are a few tweaks and things that needed to take place. But it was actually quite a successful launch, to be honest. I think it was about 3 weeks ago, I think it went live, 2 weeks ago maybe. And we're going to change the ad platform on there and do a few other bits and pieces. The goal is, as I think I've always said, to get rid of ads completely from that website. We can't at the moment, but we are. That is what we're going to go towards. But no, I'm glad it's passed the Rob test. That's always good.
Yeah, no. Well, I've got a bone to pick with you in that there's now no mention of 8 or 16 anywhere on it. What's going on there?
Has that gone completely? Yeah, we need to get that back in, don't we? Because originally we had two massive banners. Latest video and then 8 or 16. And I think the SEO company pointed out that it looks great and it's nice that you're promoting both those things, but Google doesn't care. That was the problem. So is there no mention at all?
No.
Literally, it's just not there.
I get the whole not having it on the homepage because it's not good for SEO, but it's literally gone. There's no mention. You've got your X and your Insta and, you know, your LinkedIn and everything. No problem.
We need it on there. I'll have a word. Niall, if you're watching this, because you do see these, just sort it out.
you've sort of rebranded the Solo Club channel to being like a creator diary series, which I'm really enjoying.
That's past the Rob test as well.
It looks like you're really enjoying doing it, and I think that's probably why. Because the thing about the Solo Club content, I'm not knocking it at all, is that I don't think you were enjoying doing it. I think you were scrambling for things to talk about and it came across. Whereas this Creator Diary series, you could tell that you're having fun.
You've hit the nail on the head completely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Solo Club thing would have had legs if, I had the time, and if it was just the only channel I was making, fine, but it isn't, obviously. I think what changed for me was watching a couple of other YouTubers just walk around with GoPros, literally just little action cameras, and it just clicked. I suddenly thought, these guys, and they're much bigger channels, but they just didn't care about anything apart from just showing you their day. And what more importantly, the audience seemed to really enjoy it. They had people really... All the comments were things like, I can't wait for this. I'm always looking forward for this next episode. Or they'll be picking out certain things within each episode, little running themes and things. And all of it's natural. It's just shooting stuff throughout the day and stitching it all together, not worrying about adding music and fancy cuts, because no one cares about that stuff. It's all about the story, isn't it? And like you say, if the person filming is clearly enjoying it, it kind of rubs off, doesn't it, I think?
I'm perturbed by your use of the generic term GoPro to refer to your lovely DJI Osmo Action.
So, they won't be happy GoPro, with that, will they?
Have they given you any money? Have you reviewed it?
No.
No.
No, never. No,
whereas no. DJI are... your friends, so yeah, we should just
they'll love that, won't they?
Well, I mean, I get it though, because like it's a GoPro, isn't it?
It's kind of
as generic as Hoover for a vacuum cleaner, but yeah,
yep. You're right, though. Yeah. You're right to pick me up on that. But in fairness, the DJI Osmo Action 4 is the catalyst for it, because it's just so easy to. I've talked loads about it before, but it's just you pick it up, you press record, and away you go.
Are you using the built-in mics, or are you using the DJI mic?
Yeah, the goal with this, go on.
But the video and audio quality is superb. So it's more than good enough for what you're doing. You know, you're sort of off the cuff vlog style content. I think it's brilliant.
I think the last thing you want is to be putting a mic on and all that rubbish. It's great. No, it's a lot of fun.
Off you go. Yeah.
Yep. Chuck it all. I mean, they are long episodes. They're 20, 30 minutes long, and there's some very long sections of me putting my shoes on and stuff, but we might cut some of that down. But again, people are watching it, and the watch time is pretty impressive, and the numbers are still fairly small, but they're much bigger than we were getting before, and with the other Solo Club stuff. So I think that channel just makes more sense now, just being about me behind the scenes and what I do. People seem to, for some reason, I have no idea why, but they do seem to find it interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. Please keep doing that.
We will.
What else do we need to know about from you? Well, there are two things, aren't there? So if we have a quick Vision Pro update, how's that going? Is it actually useful, or are you just mostly really trying to shoehorn it into the day to just because you spent a lot of money on it?
It's genuinely useful. Yeah, I was thinking about this morning, because I was using it to finish off tomorrow's video. So I was at home with the MacBook Pro, adding B-roll to tomorrow's video, and I realized that I was doing it in Vision Pro, and I hadn't even thought about the process of putting it on. It was just, I just did it. It was as natural as opening the laptop and cracking on. And the reason for that is because, as I think I've said before, because I've gone from the 16-inch to the 14-inch MacBook Pro, I do miss that screen estate. When I'm at home in the kitchen, you do notice it. It's a bit cramped in terms of editing video. So in Vision Pro land, you have this massive display that you can put anywhere, and you can block off the world around you, have Yosemite in the background and stuff, just to kind of focus yourself a bit. And it has genuinely become a part of the workflow.
The Joshua Tree thing, which is its official name now.
The Joshua Tree thing.
After you referred to it as that. I can't remember, what was it, in a video or a live stream?
I think it was my unboxing, wasn't it? The Joshua Tree thing. Yeah, I've not been back there, actually. I need to go back to the Joshua Tree thing. It's great. So I think in terms of usefulness, it's filling a role there. However, I could just buy a bigger monitor and use that at home. So for me, that's still problematic, because it's still heavy, still hurts my nose. The battery life is okay. I know I can plug it in, but that's a bit of a faff. The thing I haven't really done is really invest time in the rest of it. And that is partly because it's a faff going into your US Apple ID, going to the App Store and downloading and then signing back out and signing back in. And when you use a third-party password manager, that doesn't, RoboForm isn't on Vision OS at the moment, and may never be, who knows. But it's just a bit of a, there's a barrier there, because it's not fully released over here. I think when it is, fingers crossed, I'll it will be easy. I can go into the App Store, get stuff, buy things, and really test it. But I've not used it beyond really the whole Mac thing.
But even just for that it's worth the price of entry, is it?
For me, but only from my perspective as a content creator. I wouldn't have bought this if I wasn't doing this as a job. If I didn't see it as an investment in content and telling the story about, you know, spatial computing, I wouldn't have bought it at all. It's way too much money. I wouldn't advise anyone buy it.
See, I don't know how I feel about it, because I really enjoy having a dedicated space to work. And, you know, so I'm looking at you on a 40-inch HP 5K 2K display that almost goes to the edge of my peripheral vision. I don't know that I would want a display any bigger than that, even a virtual one that I could place wherever. But the idea of being able to work anywhere, I don't think I like that.
Okay, for what reason?
Because then I would, and I don't want to. I want to have a dedicated space where I do the work, and then I leave that space and the work has stopped.
I'm with you, yeah. So you don't want the ability to go into your kitchen, sit there with a massive 4K display in the Joshua Tree thing. And
no.
Yeah, I that makes sense. Yeah, that's one of its downsides, I suppose, isn't it? It does kind of, it gives you that, it almost gives you too much freedom, doesn't it? But very solitary freedom.
Yeah. Also, on the sort of VR, mixed reality, spatial computing subject, my Reloptics lens inserts arrived from my MetaQuest 3.
Okay.
And they're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. They took 2 seconds to install. They just pop in, and then there's like a subframe into which the actual lenses go. The lenses attach magnetically so that I can pop them out if Mrs. Rob wants to use it, and, you know, put them back in if I want to use it. But the sharpness and the clarity is definitely, if you're into your VR, I think it's a worthwhile investment. I think Reloptics are at the higher end of the price scale. I think mine were about 75 quid or something. Worth every penny. Actually, I've got the... Oh, no, I don't know where it is. But they turn up beautifully packaged. They come in like a sort of hard case, and you've got a little pouch and cleaning cloth and all sorts of stuff. And the product itself is beautifully made. It's you can... I don't feel shortchanged at all.
So nice.
There are cheaper options. As you know, I've got like stupid mole eyes, and my prescription is a bit hard. So I couldn't necessarily go to some of the cheaper ones. But the standout feature of Reloptics is the way that they apply the bevel, such that the lens sits within the frame. So a lot of the other companies, where they put the bevel in for the lens, it will sit proud of the frame. Oh, okay. If you've got really high prescription, as I do, so that, and people were complaining that, you know, it was sort of brushed against their eyelashes and stuff, but these ones, the lens actually sinks into the cavity of the eye socket bits on the headset. Oh yeah, two thumbs up for Reloptics prescription lens inserts for the MetaQuest 3.
Nice. We'll have a link in the notes.
And this is hot off the press, is you're switching to S24 Ultra full time, your main phone.
Yep.
Talk me through that.
I'm doing it. There? Yep. And by the time this goes live, there'll be a video talking about it. Will there? Yeah, I've written about it anyway. I am. Yeah, I'm doing it. I just think I should put my money where my mouth is and do it. Because I keep saying how amazing it is, and you've partly inspired me about it for this, because you've done it. You've ditched the iPhone, and you even went to a foldable, which I couldn't have written that myself with you. So you've partly inspired it, and I think the reasons for not switching are dwindling. And equally, I am bored of the iPhone, and I want to start. You know, I want to get to the stage where I'm using the S24 Ultra, and I need to transfer something from the Mac. I want to find out what the solution for that is. I know there are. I know they exist, but I've never tried them. So why haven't I just got over that little hurdle to have the S24 Ultra as my main phone, because I love it so much? It's it's daft. And there is this whole switching thing that as YouTube, as tech YouTubers are kind of playing on for views and engagement and clicks and all the rest of it. And it's a bit, it's all a bit tongue in cheek, although it does produce results, which is why we do it. But equally, the audience isn't stupid. And I think the joke has worn a bit thin now. So personally, I'm not suggesting I'm being a martyr with this. I just think I'm a bit bored of it as well. I think let's just do it. Let's take the SIM, the main SIM card I've got in my iPhone, and put it into that S24 Ultra, and see what happens.
I think if you are going to do it, the S24 Ultra is the device to do it because it's so well supported. So one of the things that's really annoying me about my Magic V2, and obviously I've got an S24 Ultra as well. The reason I don't use the S24 Ultra is because I can't get on with the camera. I just need a camera that I know I'm going to press the button and I will get a photo that is usable of that exact moment when I press the button. The S24 Ultra is much better than the S23 Ultra and the S22 Ultra that came before it, but it's still not as fast as the iPhone or even other phones like the... what have you had recently? Like the Nothing phone.
The
£300 Nothing phone 2A. The photos are, again, it's a situation where the photos are not as technically good as the ones that the S24 Ultra can take when it gets it right. But it's good enough 9 times out of 10 because you posted pictures of like Harrison with playing with bubbles and all of that sort of stuff. So... that's the reason I use the V2 over the S24 Ultra, even though I've got one sitting here, is just because I find the camera more reliable. However, what irks me is the rollout of the software. So, you know, I'm still on Android 13 because I can't get Magic OS 8, which is built upon Android 14. And like the security updates, this is still on February's security patch. And right. You know, the S24 Ultra is on April's, which is good. It's what it should be. So, yeah, I think if you are going to make of the Android devices to switch to, I think it's the safest bet, and particularly as you know they're going to support it for a long time. And they're now one of the fastest at rolling out updates. Everyone used to bash Samsung for taking an age, but they're actually pretty much banging up to date all of the time now, which is really good.
I can't think of anything else that I'm going to miss, really. I mean, the Apple Watch hasn't been on my wrist for the last 3 weeks or nearly 4 weeks because I've got the Garmin on. I can move the Whoop over. I can move my ring when it eventually arrives over. The headphones I use are all compatible with that. AirPods Pro, again, I tend to use them. I use those at the gym, but then I've got loads of different earbuds I can use. I use WhatsApp. I don't use iMessage. Very, very rarely use iMessage, so that's not a problem.
So you all right with the Android WhatsApp client?
It's not as good as the iPhone, as iOS. Totally agree. But it works.
It's a tip for you as someone who's been living the Android life for 2 months. The latest Android beta client... is probably the best looking chat app anywhere on any platform.
Oh, well, okay.
This is one of those rare examples. So, you use Beeper generally anyway, don't you? But if you have to explicitly install the Beeper, so you have to go into, you know, the developers of Beeper, there's like a Beeper chat which gives you updates and stuff. You have to go into there and then you need to go and click on the thing to sign up for the Beeper and then you get the do it. It's so much better than the standard Beeper client, and it is much better than the Android WhatsApp client, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think I'll discussed before how much the Android WhatsApp client gets on my nerves. So I just use Beeper. But my Portal headset arrived, you know, my free Portal headset.
Oh, yeah.
There it is. I mean, it just looks like every other set of Bang & Olufsen. Look, there's my H9Is. I'm wearing the H7s, my H9s.
They're all the same, aren't they?
They all look the same, which is a good thing in my opinion, because I think they look brilliant. These feel a bit cheaper than the H9i, even though on paper they're more expensive. On the H9i's, the band here and the ear cups are leather, and it's very nice leather. It's pleather on these, which is probably a good thing because you know we need to stop killing stuff to make things. It just it doesn't feel as premium as the H9i, which is a much older product and was cheaper, in fact. In use with its USB dongle, so I've been using it for work. It's rock solid. Despite not having a boom mic arm, the sound quality is very good. And so it's actually better than my. This is what I was using before as a Jabra, something or other 75 Evolve 75, I think. Tried and tested a decent noise cancelling thing with a flippy out arm to talk into. Yep. So yeah, no, it sounds better to me and I sound better to other people on it. So that's great. Where it all falls down is trying to pair it with the phone that it came with. Bluetooth on the Magic V2 is balked. And I thought it was because I was trying to pair AirPods Pro with it. And, you know, that's asking for trouble, right? And I was prepared to go, all right, we'll give it the benefit of the doubt there because that's a stupid thing to try and do. But yeah, no, I don't understand why they have given away this fancy Bluetooth headset that doesn't work properly with the handset.
Oops. Why doesn't it work? What happens?
It fails to connect a lot of the time. Even if it has connected, or you know, when it does connect, it takes an age to connect. It drops a lot. It's just unreliable in a way that, you know, if you're used to an iPhone and AirPods, which you put them on and you're good to go, it just introduces friction that isn't there, that I'm not used to on anything else, which is extraordinarily irritating.
That's annoying. That's a shame. Particularly as they came with the phone.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think my Android experiment is, pretty much 2 months in now. I think it's rather awkwardly, given that you're just starting this journey. I think it's going to be coming to an end very soon, because I find that things take more taps in my Android setup than they do on the iPhone. You know, it either takes more taps, or I need to do things more than once, or I need to look in multiple places. And I'm kind of concerned about, you know, Apple having their arm twisted to open stuff up, because it's actually really annoying having two different app stores and two different gallery apps. And I think do you know what I mean? So I go to, you know, update an app, and then I go into the wrong app store, because particularly, you know, on the S24 Ultra, for example, you've got the Galaxy App Store, and then you've got the Google Play Store, and then on other phones, like there's the Honor Store on that one, and you know that everyone's at it. I quite like in the Apple space the fact that I've got one place to go for my subscriptions. I've got one place to go, and to update my apps. And it just kind of makes things very easy for me. So yeah, that's what I felt. So I think it'll be a good novelty for a while, but I think you'll find that you will be less productive on Android just due to its nature.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think one of two things is going to happen. Either that will be it. I'll switch forever. I'll be more than happy. I mean, I'm getting that way with the watch. I think I'm nearly there. I think I'm nearly rid of the... Not. I didn't want to get rid of the Apple Watch. I love the Apple Watch Ultra, but I don't miss it at all. That could happen with this, or equally, I could get 6 months, 3 months, a month down the line and think... I'll give it longer than that, obviously, but it could happen. I could get to the point you have and think this is just too much faff. And for me, it's the business. It's the business process thing. If it significantly slows things down, that's genuinely a problem. I don't think it will, but you know, I have to be open minded and see what happens. But I think I should do it. I've got to do it. Well, time has come.
In terms of getting stuff from your Android phone to your Mac and vice versa, what you need is KDE Connect. It's a bit of a faff to set up, but once it's running, it's pretty reliable. Except I think I mentioned the caveat before, which is that if you want to copy something from the phone to the Mac, you have to go through a couple of additional steps, because there's just a system level, an OS level restriction that doesn't give it access to the clipboard, which is, you know, fair enough as a security feature. That's a good thing. But it is annoying when you're used to being able to just copy and paste. Well, the other thing is that you have to copy, if you're copying text, there's one process. If you want to copy a photo or something, then you do a slightly different process, which is not how it is on iPhone and Mac, where you can copy a picture, you can copy text, you can copy a PDF, and you can paste it on another device, and it goes over straight away. So I think that will start to grate after not an awful lot of time. But I mean, I know you don't care about this stuff, but for me, Android is a privacy nightmare. So you're running under everything, underpinning everything is a Google OS, which you just know they're going to be up to all sorts of evil, and they're quite blatant, and they don't keep trying to hide it at all. If you've got a device from anyone other than Google, then you've got that manufacturer's layer of stuff that's probably watching what you do. I mean, I don't know if no one reads the terms and conditions, but like the One UI stuff is like, we're watching everything you do. And, you just kind of accept that's how it is these days. So, yeah, so Google is spying on you. Samsung is spying on you with their One UI layer. If you choose to use a third-party launcher, perhaps you might like to use the Microsoft launcher, which ironically is actually really good. I don't know if you tried the Microsoft launcher, but it's decent. But if you choose to use that, then Microsoft are now spying on you as well. Or, particularly if you use the link to Windows feature, which is quite useful for clipboard sharing between. That's the thing, right? If you're prepared to use Microsoft Swift Key keyboard and you're prepared to use Windows, then you can seamlessly copy and paste between those two things without. Because circumventing the OS level thing, because that transport between the phone and PC and vice versa is happening via Swift key, not the OS. So, yeah, that's a concern for me as well. It's not going to stick for me. I don't think so. I'll be very interested to hear how you get on. But yeah, if you need any. Pointing in the right direction. Because pretty much any problem you can encounter, I've solved. I've got as close to, a perfect Android and a mostly Apple setup as you can get. But I'm genuinely interested to see how you go.
I am as well. The one thing I might miss is day one, because I'm using day one more now for journaling and stuff, and that is iOS only. So. I mean, I'll still use it on the Mac, obviously, and that's where I tend to use it the most. But today, I was at the vet, so I was sitting there using it, and I was thinking, I won't have this. So, we'll see.
Oh, sorry.
I'm confident. I
hate to be that guy with the... And another thing. Third-party accessories.
One more thing.
Right, third-party accessories. Just the variety and quality and novelty of third-party accessories. We're talking stands, chargers, watch bands, MagSafe wallets. Actually, look in the show notes, right? There's a company called Elago. I've mentioned them before because they tend to make things that are shaped like other things, which, as regular listeners will know, is I'm kind of into that. They've got a MagSafe wallet that looks like a Game Boy.
Wow.
I mean, that's brilliant, isn't it?
Of course it is.
And I get that, you can get a MagSafe case for your S24 Ultra, as I have done, but then it's going to nag you every time that it's interfering with the S Pen's functionality. Have you experienced this, putting a MagSafe case on an S24 Ultra?
I've not experienced it myself, but I've heard of it, okay. Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if, Pataka have somehow got around that. So, I mean, this is just a cheap, MagSafe case for the S24 Ultra that I got an Amazon special, but it does warn you that it will interfere with the S Pen. I can't say that I've noticed any difference. Have you got your S24 Ultra handy?
I can get it, yeah. Okay,
just pop out your S Pen, give it a little sniff.
A sniff.
Give it a sniff, you heard.
There's your show title. Oh, wow.
I don't know. I don't remember it being
I didn't expect
as,
that.
No, I don't remember it being quite as pungent as that. I don't know whether there's some sort of chemical compound that's breaking down over time, but it didn't smell like that to begin with. I haven't put it anywhere that would cause it to smell like that. But it doesn't smell great, does
it? Can I ask the obvious question here, Rob? Yeah. There's an obvious question. Why were you sniffing your S Pen to begin with?
I think I was just mucking around with it. Maybe it's just, oh, hang on. That doesn't smell,
First thing that came, why is this guy sniffing zest? But anyway, that aside, yeah, that is a weird smell, isn't it?
What's up with
Everyone's
that?
Doing this now.
And it gets worse if the device is, you know, if you've been doing something quite heavy duty on the device.
I'm never going to sniff it again, though.
It smells even worse. So just an aside, just a weird thing. Yeah, the S Pen.
You learn so much.
It smells bad.
People learn so much on AI. You don't learn this on any other, Joe Rogan, any of those guys. But none of them have mentioned that, what the S Pen smells like. That's why we should be getting some sort of award by now. This is episode 72.
Something like that, yeah.
And we still haven't won any kind of award.
What's going on?
Or we not even been sponsored. That's the other thing. Unbelievable.
Sad times.
Anyway, on that note, on the note of me sniffing my S Pen, I think we'll call it a day.
I don't think we should. I don't think we can end on that. Let's talk about something that's genuinely useful. Right? So there's one thing that I want to.
Okay, go on.
So I know at the beginning of this, I said, I reckon we'll get through all of this. Of course we weren't. It's a ludicrous notion that we were going to get through everything on the list. The one thing that I do need to mention is the discovery of an app by a developer called Adam Foote for the Apple TV called TV Launcher. And I don't know why that URL isn't clickable. Hang on, let's see if we can make it clickable.
I think I know what this is.
Have you seen it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've got it, I think. Where is it?
Have
I can't see it. Adam Foote. Yeah, I've been using this for ages. Have I not mentioned this?
No.
I'm ahead of you on something. That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've been using it. We've had it for the last 3 or 4 months, I think. I think I have probably mentioned it briefly, but it's great. It gives you a proper TV guide, almost. It's not perfect. Have you started using it yet?
Yeah. Well, I haven't. Mrs. Rob has. So basically, we got to the stage. You know, when I first binned off Sky, because I hate Sky now, and I was going to go down the whole thing of like setting up a NAS and getting a DVR tuner and, you know, just really going to town on making my own equivalent to the Sky Q box so that I could, you know, pause, rewind live TV, all of that sort of stuff. And then just decided that I didn't miss it enough. However, as time's gone on, there are times when you just want to plonk yourself down in front of the telly and you don't know what you want to watch and you don't really, you know, you've got your Up Next and you go, oh, well, I mean, that's got zombies in it. That's political. That's a bit, you know, that's about war. And, you know, you kind of like your list of stuff that has been recommended to you or that you've read about that you really want to watch that's interesting. You kind of got to be in the right frame of mind for it a lot of the time, I find. And sometimes you just want to just go flick, 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 flick. Oh, fine. You know, a documentary about Lions, I'll watch that. Which obviously you can't do when you're a cable cutter. But yeah, this app by Adam Foote, TV Launcher, gives you an electronic program guide for terrestrial TV in the UK. You need to have the actual apps for those channels installed. It doesn't stream the content directly. It's simply like just a nicely presented set of links that take you to the appropriate program within the app that you should already have and be logged into. I think it works great.
It's about £4, isn't it? It's not very expensive, is it?
It's very, very inexpensive, and it works, I find. So what issues have you encountered with it?
Just occasionally, it won't launch the. It will take you to the app, but it won't launch the channel, the actual feed for some reason. That might be down to the app itself. To be fair, it may not be Adam's fault, but there's been occasions where it just hasn't done anything. It's like, well, okay.
I mean, to be fair, that happens. That happens with Up Next as well. I find particularly Channel 4.
True.
So you know, you want to watch the latest Celebrity Bake Off, and you know it's in your Up Next, and you click on it.
Nothing happens. That's true, actually. I've had that as well. Yep.
So I think
that's an API thing.
I think it's an issue with the app that is provided by that channel more than it is an issue with the TV Launcher app. But yeah, so anyway, so clearly I'm behind the curve on this one. But in case anyone didn't know, that exists and it's very good.
It's really good. Yep, really good. Okay, we'll finish on that rather than the sniffing the S Pen. That's a better way to finish. At least we've got the show title. That's the main thing. Anyway, Rob, glad you're feeling better.
Oh, yeah, cheers.
Just maybe don't sniff the S Pen again. Maybe that's partly why you weren't feeling very well.
Yeah, it's probably entirely down to that.
We don't know what that chemical is, do we, to be fair? Anyway, public service announcement. Please, I know you won't, but don't sniff your S Pen. And on that note, we'll catch you again in 2 weeks. Cheers.
See ya.